Welcome to What a Creep, the show with Margot Donahue and Sonia Mansfield talking about creeps from the past to the present.
This is your quick guide to the biggest creeps, jerks, assholes, and losers, the best of the worst.
From two nice ladies who want the world to be a little less creepy.
Welcome back to What a Creep. This is Margot Donahue, and my cohort in creepitude, as always, is the amazing Sonia Mansfield. Hey, Sonia.
Hello, my friend.
Hello, my friend, and aloha. You're about to go to Hawaii for a week.
Aloha. I am so excited for this long overdue vacation. And just so everyone knows, I will be very, very safe. The Delta variant is running wild through our country right now, and I will be masked up and as safe as humanly possible on my trip. But I'm very excited. I just want some quiet beach time.
We all deserve that.
I literally have a book called Beach Read that I'm going to read on the beach.
I want to say thank you to all the people who joined our Patreon page, by the way, where we put out bonus episodes. That they are Jade, Cell, Victoria, Victor, Daisy, and Melissa. We really appreciate you doing that. And we put out bonus episodes a couple of times a month. We're going to be a little late this month because El Señorita is going to be having Mai Tais on the beach.
I ruin everything. I'm so glad people are joining the Patreon page. That is awesome. And one of the things you will get with your, doing that is a newsletter that I am actually going to do. You need to wait until after I get back from my vacation, but it is something I'm going to do.
Absolutely. And if you guys want stickers, whether you're a Patreon member or not, send us an email at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. We do have a private Facebook group. If you've listened to older episodes and you're trying to join and you're like, what's this, asking questions stuff, we have to keep it safe. So we do have you ask a couple of questions, but you can come on in. It's one of the best groups in Facebook. We've got the best
people
in there. I should warn you, we do have a Facebook page, but we never use it because that's a place where people go to complain about our language. Yes, we use salty language on this show.
Yeah, we do.
You're not going to change us. That's just the way it's going to be. You can follow us on Twitter at CreepPod, and it's CreepPod because somebody had What a Creep on Twitter for 10 years and never used it.
Creep.
We're also on Instagram, where I'd like to say bonjour to all of our new French fans that joined us there. Merci.
I'm not even going to try. No. I'm not even going to try.
And I'd like to give out a thank you to a few people who left us 5-star reviews, which is just so helpful. To Sarah, Awesome Girl 3313.
Oh, that's an awesome name. Awesome Girl.
And I should, by the way, it's Sarah from Boston. There's my accent for you.
Nice.
Do my accent works. And Little Gamma, I believe she is from France. So guys, thank you so much for
She's
doing
from
this.
France.
Oui.
That's my Coneheads impression. We're from France.
We're old.
We're so old.
Tell them the website.
Yes, you can go to whatacreeppodcast.com, and it's everything you ever wanted to know about our podcast, but were afraid to ask. It has links to all of our past episodes and a link to our merch shop. It's on Threadless. If you just want to go to Threadless and type in What a Creep Podcast, and we have shirts and tote bags, notebooks, all kinds of awesome, awesome stuff. And I have to say, the shirts are really, really comfortable.
As are the masks.
Yes, that's true. I have one of the masks as well, and it is really comfortable and effective.
Sweet. All right. But let's just jump into today's show, shall we?
Yes.
Sonia.
Yes.
Do you know about Hillsong Church?
I know those words, but I don't know what you're talking about. No.
I just became aware of them. I mean, I've heard about them in the media because they have a celebrity church in L.A. I mean, it's anybody can go, but the big celebrities are there, like Chris Pratt and his wife. The Kardashians go there. The Jenners go there. And Justin Bieber became a believer. See how I did that?
I get it.
In 2017, he was saved by one of their pastors named Carl Lentz. He is our creep today, but there's some shit going on with this church, too. We source our show. So let me just say this at the top of the show. We have, of course, the Wikipedia page, but I also have ABC News Australia, Preda.org, The Guardian, ReligionNews.com, NBC, Vanity Fair, New York Times. There was a BBC documentary, but unfortunately, I can't get to the BBC because I'm a dummy in America.
So ooh.
I have a feeling we're going to be doing a follow-up episode on this in the future. If I miss anything, don't worry. We'll get to it later, or we'll also get to it into a Patreon bonus up because there's a lot of creepitude going on here. Let's get started. Hillsong Church is based in Australia with dozens of outposts worldwide and over 150,000 people that attend their weekly services. If you check their YouTube channel, the Hillsong Worship, Hillsong United, and Hillsong Young and Free, there's lots of Hillsong stuff going on there. Music is their main draw, and they make these shows. You'd think it was a Christopher Guest movie because it's so over the top and people are so ebullient and so, you know, into it. But that's how they do it. It's sort of this mixture of, it's kind of like, it sounds a little like Tori Amos-ish, and it's a little rock, but not too much. It's these shows, and it's like a light show, and they make a whole thing like they're trying to make church cool. And
oh,
edgy.
I love it when people try to make church cool. I'm going to look up some of these videos.
It's incredible.
This.
It's quite, they have quite the following around the world. Their services seem they're more youthful. It's like going to a concert versus a stuffy congregation. I should say, I was raised Catholic.
Me too.
I would have, and I had to go to church every Sunday. I would have loved, to be honest, to go to something like this versus what I had to go to, where there's incense and boring sermons. And
are you ready to pray? Yeah, woo!
Jesus, Jesus. There's several scandals with this church, as there are with all churches. We're saying that, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
You can always find something. Absolutely.
Fact. We could do a whole season of just religions.
On just different religions, including, believe me, Catholicism has got their own bullshit.
Yes.
We're not saying it's perfect, but anyway, it could be a multi-part episode. Today, we're going to kind of stick with Hillsong, kind of an overview of that, and then Carl Lentz.
Okay.
Whose ego took over. He became, you know, we'll get into him. Trigger warnings, religious guilt, bullying, homophobia, sexual assault, and my attempts to pronounce Australian locations.
That is very triggering.
Yes. We get a lot of laughs for that.
Unfortunately for Margot, her co-host is me. And I can't pronounce anything correctly, so I won't be correcting you at all. I'll just assume everything you're saying is exactly correct.
What happens in the Facebook group is people LOL and they phonetically spell things out for me. And it's,
yes.
You know, I don't know. I find it, you know, maybe if I'm amusing you, that's part of the fun of all this. The founders of Hillsong are Brian and Bobby Houston, and they started the mega church in, here we go, Balcombe Hill School.
Okay.
With 45 members in the early 80s. They started about 1983. It's a Pentecostal theology, which is pretty strict about sex, sexuality, gender roles, and interpreting the Bible. They gain popularity through their modern contemporary music to attract a younger culture of people. They emphasize making people feel good about going to church, being at church. It should feel fun. You should feel spirited when you leave, not like you want to end it all or there's no point.
Right.
Which
right.
I get. That's good. That's it's nice to feel that way. As their popularity grew through the 80s and 90s, they moved to bigger and bigger venues. Going up to 2002, there was an opening at a convention center in the hills, as they call it, and it was dedicated by then Prime Minister John Howard. We'll talk about another prime minister in Australia, their current one soon. They also expanded into London, Kiev, Israel, Moscow, Stockholm, and LA, as I mentioned, where they have over 100,000 members. In 2018, they left the Australian Christian Churches organization out on their own and defined themselves more as a charismatic church. In 2020, they moved into the Festival Hall in Melbourne to hold their weekly services. They get thousands of people each week. It's stunning when you see these. It's just so many people. Before Pastor Carl Lentz, we will get to him, we have to talk about a couple of the scandals before him. First, that founder Frank Houston's father, Brian, was a pastor in New Zealand and Australia in the 60s and 70s, who later was accused of sexually assaulting young men in his congregation.
Oh, Houston, we have a problem.
Yes. Nine that have been identified. And in 1999, one of those men, his mother went to the church, and told them what happened. At this time, Brian Houston was president of the National Assemblies of God, which is a confederation of over 1,000 evangelical services in Australia. He heard about the accusations, which meant he had an obligation to go to the police. He did not do that because he felt the victim himself would not want to have to make a police report. Instead, the victim told the Royal Commission into the Institutional Responses to Child Sexual Abuse that Brian offered him $10,000 as compensation. Frank eventually confessed to the crime in 2000 and resigned from the ministry for 12 months.
Oh, for 12 months.
Resigned from the ministry for 12 months without being charged with the crime. When the mother of the victim called Brian about this, and she was pissed, he told her that his father was getting counseling.
Oh, well. But yeah. Well, that's fine. That's totally fair.
Yeah, fair's fair. But then he never went to counseling, and he was still preaching.
What the fuck?
The incidents happened in the 70s, and the young boy told his mother in 1978 what happened, and he was seven when it started. He didn't want to go to the police at the time, because he was afraid if he took a preacher away from his flock, that would send him to hell.
Oh my gosh. Poor. He's just a kid.
He was just a kid. And he told his mom, but then he didn't want his mom to tell anybody. So then she lives with it for 20 years. And then they, anyway, he was supposed to get 10 grand, which was agreed upon at a McDonald's in Sydney, Australia. I guess if you're going to do something like that, just be in a McDonald's. He didn't get the money right away, so he called Brian and asked him why he was stalling. Also, he asked Brian, were you molested as well? Brian got really mad and then told the man he was guilty of actually tempting his father to do what he did to him.
Oh, fuck these people. Seriously, fuck these people.
Brian says he didn't do that, but I believe the kid. His name, he's an adult now. His name's Brett. In 2019,
Brett's like, thanks for the Happy Meal, asshole, right. And like fucking left. What a dick.
In 2019, Scott Morrison, who's the current Prime Minister of Australia, he is a very proud member of Hillsong. So that victim I was talking about, his name is Brett Segenstock. He decided to end his anonymity and call to task Morrison for supporting this family when Brian was under investigation for concealing his father's crimes. He still did it anyway, still supports them publicly. By the way, Frank died in 2004 and was supported by Hillsong for the remainder of his life. A recording was found in 2004 of Frank giving a sermon at a Maitland church, and he called an 8-year-old boy good looking.
What the fuck?
Yeah. In 2006, an Aboriginal organization, the Riverstone Aboriginal Community Association, or RACA, they co-wrote an application with Hillsong Emerge. Hillsong has a lot of stuff attached to it. It's for charity. It was a charity grant, and it was for thousands and thousands of dollars. At the last minute, Hillsong withdrew the application and then applied just for themselves without the permission of RACA. When the government found out, they took the money back. The church never apologized to RACA, and they said, we've been in the game a long time now, and we've been fighting this crap for years. Aboriginal people get treated like shit everywhere.
Yeah, they do. Yes.
In 2008, Michael Guglielmucci, I'm going to say that.
Yeah.
Guglielmucci, then a pastor at Influencers Church, wrote a song called Healer, which was all about his experience surviving cancer. people. But
what do you think the song? What do you think the song sounds like? Is it a slow? Can you dance to it?
I need a healer. I need a healer at the end of the night.
I would listen to that.
Who is that? Better Which Bonnie is that? That sings
Bonnie Tyler.
Yeah, she's rad. Right.
I was thinking it would be more like healer. Nothing more than healer.
No offense, but I like my more.
I like yours.
That'll get the
way
crowd
more.
Going there.
Yeah.
But anyway, he said he wrote this about his experience surviving cancer, that prayer helped him, God helped him. And so people started donating money to him and the church. They also bought the album, This Is Our God. By the way, you get your songs in one of those albums, but it sells like crazy, and you make money from that. Turns out he was lying the whole time.
Cool.
And he later left the church for psychological counseling.
Counseling. Nothing more than counseling.
Nobody under 40 is going to know what the fuck we're talking about.
No, there was a song called Feelings. I'm just look it up. Google it. Ask your mom.
Ask your grandma.
Ask your grandma.
Since the early 2000s, there was a significant amount of discussion about homosexuality and gay marriage at all the Christian institutions. The church clarifies, Hillsong Church, that they do not support homosexuality and tell their members they need to keep it to themselves. It's one of those don't ask, don't tell situations.
Yeah, so molesting kids, thumbs up, but being gay, thumbs down. Got it. Okay.
The church is wishy-washy about this stance even now because they have celebrities that attend. And look, the Catholic Church says the same shit. I mean, nobody's great about it, but these people take a lot of money and don't pay taxes. All right. Let's talk about Carl Lentz and his big downfall as the leader of one of Hillsong's biggest successes, New York City. Stephen Carl Lentz, he goes by Carl, and I always want to go, Carl! From Walking Dead. I need to drink water.
Carl!
Ay, ay, ay. He was born in Virginia Beach and attended college at North Carolina State University. I think those are the Tar Heels. When he decided to take his love of church and preaching, and he went to Los Angeles briefly. He studied at a seminary. Then he went to the Hillsong Church in Sydney, Australia. You can study there. People do.
Mm-hmm.
He quickly became friends with Joel Houston, who's the son of Brian and Bobby, and ingratiated himself into the family as a volunteer. He washed cars. He ran errands. He made himself a part of the family. He also married a woman named Laura Lentz. Her Lentz wasn't her last name, but she was a friend of the Houston family. After they got married, they moved to Virginia Beach, where he was a pastor for a few years. And in 2010, he and Joel decided to take their Hillsong magic to New York City. They started in very tiny theaters. They eventually became so popular that they began to draw thousands to their service each week. I'm talking about like Irving Plaza. Places I go to see shows, that's how many people they could bring. And because they were good and proper hipsters, they moved to Williamsburg. They had tattoos, cool clothes. They liked to hang out in clubs.
They're cool.
Yes.
They're super cool, dude. We're cool, man. We're not your regular preachers.
No,
we're cool preachers.
Man. They have sleeves. They're covered in tats. They're like multiple earrings, the whole thing. And Jim and Tammy's son, by the way, I can't remember his name. He moved to Williamsburg for a while to do that, too. When we talked to Jim and Tammy Faye Baker.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Their son did that, too, went to Williamsburg. I'm sure he was pissed when these people came along. He's like, are you kidding me? This has been my gig.
Is Creed associated with this at all? I keep picturing like Creed in my head.
Creed. I used to work with someone that would play Creed all the time.
With arms wide open.
Can I take you high? Ay, ay, ay.
So much singing.
Thank you. The Williamsburg home became a compound for church members and volunteers who helped Carl and Joel run the New York City gigs. They had
I love a good compound.
I actually do too. I'd like to be on one. Carl was incredibly picky about having a driver take him around. And that driver who had to be had to basically wait on him 24/7. He had to also protect him from his fans of his service. Carl became a diva. He would show up at a gig and he needed to be left alone backstage. Nobody could talk to him. And then as soon as the show was over, the service was over, he would leave pretty quickly. He had this charisma about him, and celebrities started hanging out at the church. So Carl creates a VIP section in the front row.
Yeah, that's what the Lord would want.
Exactly. This is nothing egalitarian here. Like, are they good looking and famous? Put them in the front row because they want to feel like a cool thing.
Look, God's just, he's like that too, man. All famous people will get into heaven.
I get the attraction, but I think it's also messed up because it's supposed to be a place where we all are equal. But
yeah,
Carl and his wife and their now three kids eventually moved to Montclair, New Jersey, which is a lovely part of Bergen County that fancy people from New York City go to when they want to look cool about leaving the city for the suburbs.
Mm.
They also had a church there. I want to take you to 2017 now. Justin Bieber, extremely famous for his music, but also for behaving like a total douchebag. He's got an image problem.
Do you want to hear my humble brag about Justin Bieber?
Yes. Share it.
I have never heard any of his songs.
Oh, I don't know. I thought you were going to say, what's your favorite Bieber song? And I'm going to say, I absolutely cannot mention one.
I know that Justin Bieber's super popular. I know, like, he has his fans, his Biebers or whatever.
Beliebers.
I have never heard a Justin Bieber song. Never. When I see it's on, like, XM radio, I'm like, ew, no. And I just change it. I have never heard a song. Never.
I maybe by accident I did, but he's just... Also, he's such a brat. I mean, he did things like he went to the Anne Frank house... And
yes.
then said that she would have been a believer had she lived through
asshole.
The murder.
Such an asshole.
He did things like peeing in buckets. There's a story from Saturday Night Live. Who am I thinking of? Your big crush from Saturday Night Live.
Bill Hader.
Yes. He was on Howard Stern. Guy, you got that kind of... Anyway, Howard Stern said, what's it like to have the Justins on the show? And he said, Justin Timberlake... For whatever you want to think about Justin Timberlake, you guys, he said this. He shows up alone. He shows up on time, if not early. He takes a subway or a cab. He says hello to everybody, and he's never a problem.
You know what? Justin Timberlake legit could join SNL.
Yes, like, absolutely.
Say whatever we want about, like, if he's an asshole or not. Justin Timberlake is really funny, and he is really talented, and he totally
Absolutely.
Could be on SNL.
Yes. He said, well, and he said the other Justin that we're talking about, Justin Bieber, is, oh, that guy shows up late with 10 people. They're all obnoxious. And one person's job was just to hold his Diet Coke can.
Fuck's sake.
I know. He had an image problem. And it could be he got famous too young too soon, and his parents weren't really checking in the way they should. His mother's very young when she had him. Who knows? But Justin Bieber was going to be on this world tour in 2017 and couldn't do it. He was just freak. And, you know, obviously drugs or other things going on.
Right.
That affects it, and that affects your mental health. He finds about Carl and his church.
Carl!
From celebrities like Vanessa Hudgens and Haley Baldwin. He starts going and he's like, this is actually pretty cool. And I like Carl. Carl.
Carl.
That's my new buddy. Carl, being smart, says, well, why don't you come to New Jersey and live with me and my wife and my family and just chill out for a few months? Come and go as you please. You know, just hang out. Just be in a spot where no one's bothering you. You have no pressure. Just come and hang out. And he does. He cleans up his act. A year later, he gets married. He's still married to Haley Baldwin. They seem like they're really happy with one another. I haven't heard any douchey things about him in the news in a long time.
Yeah.
And then Carl and Justin, they're becoming besties. And Carl really is loving the attention. He's always jumping into the picture with Justin. He's in TMZ. He's on Entertainment Tonight. Oh, he gets a call from Oprah. He gets a book offer. People know who he is now. Like, this is the guy that cleaned up Justin Bieber, and he did it without making Bieber look like a douche. I don't know.
Right.
Bieber looked, he made him look more normal. He made him behave more normally. This is the best PR that the church had had in years. Oh, and here's another thing that the church promoted. So the LA church has thousands of members. And I said, they're YouTube channels and they're always asking for money. We need money, 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 because to put on these shows is a big thing. It's expensive. So there's a thing called tithing. And I think it's pronounced tithing. It's T-I-T-H-I-N-G. Other churches do this as well, including the Mormon church. There's other churches that say, give us 10% of your money. And the Lord will give you back. The Lord will look out for you.
Very similar to our Joel Osteen episode.
Yes. Lots of churches do this. Okay. Hillsong also promotes this. If you want riches, you got to give to us. Because if you behave the way we ask you to behave, you're going to be happier. Look at Justin Timberlake. You know, you're going to be more successful. You're going to be happier. All this will just naturally come your way.
And what do they call that? It's like prosperity something.
Yes, prosperity preaching. It's sort of this. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that's the way to get prosperity. Who doesn't want prosperity, by the way?
Yeah, I know. We all do.
Right. Well, the pastors are living pretty well for Hillsong. They're living in fancy homes, multiple cars, beautiful clothes, lavish vacations. Life is good.
Yeah, the Lord loves them.
Now, for their volunteers and interns, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
The first shoe to drop, I wrote show to drop, and that's why it took me a minute. I got to edit my stuff better. The first shoe to drop for Carl was in November of 2020. This is just not that long ago.
No, this is super recent.
Very recent. So Brian Houston announces that Carl had been fired for leadership issues and moral failures. And people are like,
ooh, what the fuck? Moral failures?
Laurel,
I'm intrigued.
Carl went on Instagram and admitted he was in a long-ass post, and you could find this for yourself. It's Carl with a C. He writes, I was unfaithful to my wife, and I'm so sorry for my actions, and we got to just go away for a while and figure shit out. And also because she worked for the church as well, she was fired.
Oh, that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. And they sold their home in Jersey and they moved to Southern California. And he went to enter a program to figure his stuff out. And it was sort of like this moral, spiritual program, which is just a spa. Let's just be clear.
Like, yeah.
That's all you're doing.
Right. This is what all like celebrities do when they have problems. They go to quote unquote rehab, but most of the time it's just a
fucking spa. Yeah.
Which, yeah, sure. It's probably what I would do too.
If I could afford it, absolutely. You kidding?
Yeah.
All right. It was very shocking to many of the church. And in a big twist, Haley and Justin both unfollowed him on all social media.
Oh, snap. You lost followers over this. Dinner.
Well, you lost your biggest follower. So but the real shitstorm was about to happen. Now, going back to those big performances I was talking about, those services, they required 300 volunteers per show. These people had a 5 a.m. call time for a Sunday service and were treated just like they're dumb, like not dumb, excuse me, but unpaid interns. Mm-hmm. They do a ton of work for the lights, security, cleanup. They're never hearing a word of thanks from Carl, who by this time he was such a star, he had just no relation to his followers. He would also, by the way, he was starting to spend a lot of weeks away from New York City and not telling people why.
Mm-hmm.
And now, not all those people weren't paid, but they weren't paid well. And a lot of them were just volunteers. And that's a shitload of work. 5 a.m. call time.
That sucks. Why so many, too?
You have to see these shows on YouTube. There's a big production that's going on there. In the wake of his firing, volunteers started coming forward to talk about what the work culture is like for Hillsong. And it turns out it's not that great. If you were to work for the Lentz family, by the way, you were expected to work up to 17 hours per day. That's doing everything from cooking and cleaning to babysitting their kids. If you were lucky, you would be paid to babysit, but wouldn't be paid. Well, you were paid well below market rate.
Right.
Otherwise, you were just doing everything for me for free. That meant if they wanted to, say, hold a party at a Williamsburg restaurant and needed a driver, you were expected to be there. You were expected to sit in a corner and not be noticed, and then spend the entire night driving everybody home. All of this for free. You pay for your gas. You pay your own way.
And they would do this. Why? They just want.
It was this way of giving back to the church. If you can't give money, then you need to give your time because you need to show your appreciation. I know. Hillsong gets tax exempt status in Australia and here in America. So
I hate this. I hate that this is a thing.
Everybody hates this. This is a thing.
This is
such
bullshit.
Such bullshit. Because they can spend money however they like. Like Mary Crosby on Real Housewives of Salt Lake City has her own church and owns all these homes across the country.
Yeah.
And you're like, how can you afford to do that? They're all churches in her on her tax form.
Right.
And so she's going to pay fucking taxes on any of that stuff. None of the property, nothing.
One of the things that's driving me nuts about this right now, and I think it's what's driving everybody nuts, is churches don't pay taxes, but they seem to think that they should have a voice in our elections. And I'm like, you need to shut the fuck up. You're not paying taxes. This is not your business.
No, and like Joel Osteen took the PPP loan.
Yeah, that's the other thing. They took these like emergency loans for their churches. And I'm like, I'm sorry. Like, look, I know that people love to go to church and it helps them. And that's great.
Yeah.
Like, people should take care of yourselves and do what you need to do. But these churches need to stop pretending that they got tax breaks with the idea that they were for the people and that they were going to help people. And they're not helping anyone. They are just helping themselves. And that's why it makes me so angry. Okay, sorry.
Yes.
Done.
In addition to being bad bosses in an authoritarian way, several women said that Carl was completely inappropriate with them. Surprise.
Surprise.
And even after they told church elders about the behavior, it was ignored. Surprise.
Yeah, that's like it's in the culture there or something.
It's because Carl's making money. He's raising their profile. So the rules don't really apply to him. After his firing, another pastor, her name's Leona Kimes, and her husband, Josh, they are both, by the way, with Hillsong Boston right now. So people really like this Hillsong. They'll put up with a lot of crap. She worked for Carl and his wife, Laura, and she details that for years she was subjected to manipulation, control, bullying, abuse of power, and sexual abuse. She describes that they never kissed or had sex, she and Carl, but he would often touch her repeatedly in intimate areas and that she froze every time. Laura and Carl deny this, saying they have irrefutable proof that it never happened. I'm like, how the fuck do you have irrefutable proof?
Video of him not doing it.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
She said she spent up to 19 hours working at the home from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. and that Carl would request foot rubs and massages from her.
Oh, fuck these guys and their fucking massages. Ugh. If dude asks for a massage, run. Run!
When Laura found out about this, she blamed Kimes and said she was bringing this on herself. Kimes also blamed herself. She thought she was doing something wrong. Carl did apologize for his behavior, but she still felt like shit about herself. It should be said that many former Hillsong members do talk about the long hours and abusive treatment by their pastors in Hillsong. You're just expected to put up with it. And after a long weekend of work, you would get something that they would call the Hillsong hangover, where by Sunday evening, you were just so exhausted you couldn't move. And that's just the culture. and kind.
That's awful.
Herself was calling her, was called out because she was paid when she went to Boston with her husband. She asked for a volunteer to take care of her kids. It's babysitting every day, cooking, cleaning, and babysitting. She paid them a whopping $150 a week for this. Can you imagine?
Ooh, they're rolling in it.
Yeah. No kidding. All right.
It's bullshit.
It's such bullshit. Turns out Lentz had a mistress. There's many. But there's one that, you know, there's always one that doesn't mind the guardian asking for the details and asking for screenshots of your phone. There's always one. Remember that, dickheads. None of them can keep their mouths shut forever.
Mm-hmm.
She is a jewelry designer. Okay. He introduced himself to her at a bar in Williamsburg and said that he was a sports agent and was best friends with Justin Bieber. They spent many getaways together, drinking tequila. He went to her place 3 or 4 times a week, and he would bring tequila in his backpack. The way he was found out was that Laura, his wife, she synced up his iPhone to the messages to the iCloud.
Oh, LOL. Oh, technology, you're the best.
Anyway, there are more scandals and general fuckery going on at Hillsong. I will save that for some of that for a future episode, but also some of that for a bonus Patreon episode. There's just so much shit going on. Hillsong New York City had supposedly set up a legal firm to look into what happened and why communication went so wrong. The church, by the way, just in New York City, brings in $12 million per year.
Wow. Damn.
And Carl was getting $3 million of that.
Think of all the people they could be helping.
Helping. In Australia, the church makes about $90 million a year.
That is so crazy. That is bananas.
When Carl was out and about doing his thing before he got caught, before he had to go away in shame, he was often seen wearing a $37,000 gold Rolex.
Jesus Christ.
And that's our creep this week. Carl Lentz and Hillsong.
Good job, Margo.
Thank you.
What a piece of shit.
He's the worst.
He is the worst. And that organization is not good. I mean, it was built on something pretty shitty and continued to practice shitty behavior up until now.
Because it's like people seem to really like it and seems to bring a lot of joy to people. But this shit's really, tough to defend.
Yeah, that is no good.
No.
I love that she found out because his texts went on the cloud. That's amazing. Didn't that happen to Gwen Stefani and Gavin Rosdale?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, he was
fucking the nanny.
He's fucking the nanny, right? And didn't she send him a nude or something and it fucking popped up on her iPad?
It's like, with the kids.
Wow, wow. What the? Don't. Keep your shit disconnected, y'all.
It's pretty easy to set up, so it doesn't do that.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad. Do you want to hear about someone who's not a creep?
Yes, I do.
This one was suggested by one of our cohorts. Callie Gabriel posted this on our Facebook, and I said, this is a good one, and wrote it down. Do you know who Buffy St. Marie is?
I know her name, but I don't know who she is.
I didn't know who she was until Kaylee shared her in our group. She is an Indigenous Canadian American singer-songwriter. She has won an Oscar. She works as a visual artist and educator. She's a social activist. She mainly focuses on issues about Indigenous peoples of the Americas. She was born in 1941 in Qu'Appelle Valley, Saskatchewan, Canada. She was orphaned as an infant when her mother was killed in an automobile accident. Mm. And she was adopted by an American couple of Mi'kmaq ancestry. I spelled it out phonetically so I would get it right, y'all. I really tried. And she was raised in Massachusetts and Maine. She taught herself how to play the piano as a young child. And she taught herself the guitar when she was a teenager. and she started writing her own songs. She went to the University of Massachusetts Amherst, and she got a degree there, graduated in the top 10 of her class. And meanwhile, all this time, she's like writing and performing her own songs. And in 1963, a music critic for the New York Times, Robert Shelton, praised her as one of the most promising new talents of the folk scene. She started recording albums after that. So she wrote all these really these songs that you, maybe you've heard, Universal Soldier, one called Codeine, Until It's Time for You to Go. Now that's the now that the Buffalo's Gone. I think that one's pretty, pretty popular. And then she recorded some covers like Mr. Can't You See and Joni Mitchell's The Circle Game. Mm-hmm. And her songs have been recorded by other people, too. So like Elvis Presley, Neil Diamond, Joe Cocker, Barbra Streisand, Janis Joplin, Glenn Campbell, they've all recorded her songs. In 1983, she became the first Indigenous person to win an Oscar because she had co-written the song Up Where We Belong.
Love lift us up, where we belong
from the film An Officer and a Gentleman. We should probably rewatch someday because I think that movie might be fucked up. Anyway, it won the Oscar for Best Original Song. It won the Golden Globe. And she was the first Indigenous person to do that. And here's some other cool things she did. In 1975, she got this call from Sesame Street. They wanted her to come on and like recite the alphabet. And then she told them, do you think maybe I could do something different? And she basically came on to teach young people that Native Americans still exist. She then regularly, thank you, I slurred all over that, appeared, and I haven't been drinking, I've just had Diet Coke. She appeared on Sesame Street for over 5 years. She actually breastfed her son, Dakota, on an episode in 1977, and it's believed to be the first time ever like someone was breastfeeding their kids on television. In 1996, she started a nonprofit called the Nihaiwan Foundation for American Indian Education, and it's devoted to improving Native American students' participation in learning. And in 1997, she founded the Cradleboard Teaching Project, and that's an educational curriculum devoted to a better understanding of Native Americans. And I sent this to you, and I think we should put it in the show notes. There's a version of her singing Up Where We Belong that I think is way better than the Jennifer Warren's Joe Cocker version. I super love it. But she is our not a creep, Buffy St. Marie.
I love that. Good job, Sonia.
And thank you, cohort Kaylee Gabriel. I hope I pronounced your name correct.
Well, please, if you have ideas and suggestions for creeps and non-creeps, reach out to us wherever social media you like. Once again, our private Facebook group is What a Creep Podcast Group. We're on Twitter at Creep Pod. On Instagram, we're at What a Creep. Our email is whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com. Oh, by the way, we love when you use the Annie Potts GIF. We got one from Ghostbusters.
So good. Always makes me smile.
It always cracks me up. If you like the sound of our voices, and who the hell wouldn't, we also co-host a show called Dorking Out, where we dork out about movies. And currently, we're dorking out about Dazed and Confused with our friend Adam Risky from F This Movie.
So fun. Oh. We had such a good time talking about that. There will not be a new episode this week because we just didn't get a chance to record a new one before I left on vacation. But we will be back to our regular programming when I get back.
And Sonia, where can they find you?
You can find me at thesoniashow.com and The Sonia Show on Twitter and Instagram and TikTok, where I spend way too much time ruining things for young people. Where can people find you, Margo?
You can find me on social media at Brooklyn Fitchick for Twitter and Instagram. I'd love for you to follow me on Instagram because I am writing a book right now, you guys.
Do it. She's writing an amazing book. I love all the pictures you share. They're so cool and interesting.
Yeah, I've become my own photographer for my book, and it's about films in Brooklyn. Go check that out. Please like it if you feel like it. If not, no big whoop. Also, my blog is brooklynfitchick.com. And we will be back soon with a new episode. But in the meantime, stay safe. Put on that sunblock, that sunscreen, wear a big floppy hat.
That's what I'm doing.
Be safe. Don't be a creep.
A creep. Stay hydrated.
Thank you for listening to us talk about creeps. You can follow us at What a Creep Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
But don't follow us too closely.
You can email us your creepy stories at whatacreeppodcast@gmail.com.
But please keep your dick pics to yourself.
I found a Dr. Pepper in my fridge and I was like, ooh, I can use that. And then it expired. So I didn't drink it.
I didn't know soda could expire.
I'm obsessed about checking expirations because my mother never did. And I got sick once, like at her place. So
I did not know that sodas could expire. I figured they're so filled with shit.
No. Like they're filled with shit for sure.
Yeah, I'm drinking a Diet Coke right now, so
I'm jealous.
I'm filling my body with shit right now.
I wish I could get a Coke. Nah, never mind. Okay. Hillsong Church! It's just recording. I'm doing nothing. All right.
Okay.
Here we go. Ready? 5, 4...